Thanks for tuning in to Americana Music Profiles. It's Season 3, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine in print and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com online. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's join in on another great conversation with one of the Americana music industry's super talented artists. Mark Daniels grew up in rural Spokane, Washington, before moving to California to pursue a professional music career. Mark has recorded several albums, but his latest, The Starting Line, is where he says he's gotten to explore what he thinks is his truest sound. Mark is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Well, hi, Mark. Welcome to the program this afternoon.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good to talk to you. So, we're talking to you in Spokane, is that right, Washington?
Well, that's where I'm originally from, yes. I'm actually, as we're talking, I'm in California right now, which is kind of where I base my operation out of
the States. Okay, cool. So how long have you been in California?
So I've been in California about 6 years now. I am originally from Washington State. I grew up in Spokane, and I kind of served the first half of my music career up there, and then did move down to California in 2011. So since then, I've kind of been kind of set up shop here initially. I do go back there quite a bit, though. So, yeah.
So for those folks who don't know you and know your music, give me some background on yourself, how you got involved in music, and how you got to where you are at this point in your career.
Yeah, sure. So and music, I mean, I've always kind of been involved in music in some form or another. I started out pretty much at a young age, like, taking piano lessons. My parents kind of put me in that. And I came from a musical family. So, for anyone who's ever grown up in a musical family, it kind of creates an awe that everyone's a musician because everyone around you is one.
Right.
So, I guess from my standpoint, like, I didn't realize that there was much talent there, because when your brothers and sisters are all can sing and can play instruments, it's just kind of like, okay, you just assume the whole world is like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
It took me a while to kind of realize that music was something I could potentially do as a career.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get started in like singing in bands and stuff until I was about 21, 20 time frame. Uh-huh. And it started out kind of just doing like karaoke for fun, and then I got a lot of feedback where I was singing like, wow, you're really good, and I kind of got the bug.
Yeah,
thing,
okay.
I guess from that standpoint, and that kind of transitioned into me finding bands and projects, and which kind of started me on this whirlwind route of different bands, different styles, and really all along the way though, I've kind of always kind of been a rural Northwest kind of guy, eventually, after a few series of bands that maybe were in rock or some other genres, I kind of took a step back in my late 20s and realized, like, you know, hey, I really want to kind of get back to my roots. And really, country music is at least what country music has become today, most closely aligns with what I'm interested in as an artist.
Right,
and,
okay.
I really think country has taken over a lot of the rock genre.
Yeah.
And with also adding these true classical country elements, which is really taking it to the next level, in my opinion.
So you would kind of put yourself in the country rock category?
Yeah, I would definitely classify myself as country rock.
Are you?
For me, the important. I like driving guitars. I like solid, like, groovy bass lines. So it's like the kind of like rock driving feel of country is what appeals to me the most. It most closely aligns with kind of like my general interest in music and my roots.
What do you feel like some of your influences are?
Well, boy, there was a lot of really good 90s country that I was really into, like some of the later stuff that Tim McGraw did. I was really into Lone Star. I kind of went to the country fairs when I was 15. I had a friend who had introduced me into country music, some bands like Black Hawk, Lone Star, I mentioned Little Texas, Brooks and Dunn was a favorite of mine as well. And then I kind of watched country evolve into what I would call modern country today, which is kind of the Luke Bryan, like the Blake Sheltons. And I really admire those guys today as artists. And so it's really taking the elements of what classical country, like in the 90s, was doing and, you know, seeing what a like the modern day country artists like Luke Bryant, like Jason Aldean are doing today, and saying like, wow, that's what I really want to be doing. That's what I feel like. It felt like a natural fit for me, you know. And the timing was right too.
Yeah, sure. Are you also writing some of your own music?
I mean, the last album I just released, The Starting Line, there was a collaborative effort between me and my producer, Tom Sandler. We wrote the album together. It was a great experience. So over the course of my music career, writing was always a tricky challenge. It's like, there's no like formula for success for writing. You pretty much have to just start putting things on paper.
Right,
and
yeah.
then, you know, bouncing ideas off people, like listening to other music, seeing what... finding out what other people like, the elements of it, the structure of the song. And it takes time. You have to really train yourself to become a good writer. And
sure.
over the course of the years, I've learned to do that through working with different producers. And but I do most of my writing on the piano initially because that's my primary instrument.
Yeah, cool.
And then things like lyrics and stuff have always just kind of come naturally to me. So I definitely do my own writing, and that's reflected in my music as well. So my songs are actually very... They're all very personal to me. They all actually have elements. Like everything I talk about in my music is a real story in my life.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like people always ask me, like, "Wow, do you really like redheads as much as you do?" Because I have a single called Redheads. I'm like, "Yeah, I really do. Like, I have a thing for redheads."
Yeah. Okay.
So for me, like writing that, it just comes off the tongue, right? It's just easy to put on paper because it's coming right from my head.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And so we were talking a couple minutes ago that the feel of your music is kind of lends itself more to the country rock genre, whereas you know you kind of don't think of piano necessarily fitting into that. So when you sit down to the piano to craft one of your songs, are you hearing that country rock sound in your head while you're kind of picking out the melodies and the lyrics, or do you just kind of adapt it later? And if it fits, great. If not, you kind of take it back and start over.
That's a great question, actually. So in reality, what happens is a lot of times I'm just like driving down the street or I'm just sitting in my bedroom and I'm hearing a song in my head, like how the melody would go.
Right.
But I figure to myself, I'm like, okay, like how do I transcribe this into actual notes? So then that's when I go to the piano and I try to hammer out the melody
okay.
on the piano.
Okay.
And the nice thing about a piano instrument is that it embodies the entire scale of music. Like
right.
you can play every note that ever existed.
Right.
So you can almost write the full song on piano and then I can take that and translate it to guitar, where I'm not as strong of a guitar player, but it helps in the writing element there as well. So I can hammer out the melodies on piano. And then when we actually go in and record, the piano is more of an accompaniment. It's like maybe something kind of in the back, like a
uh-huh.
rock
sure.
country piano.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, but it's just the tool I use because it's the instrument that's most familiar to me.
Are you ever surprised at what you started with and then what you end up with? You know, let's say you sit down today and you've got the song in your head and you work it out on the piano, and then 6 weeks from now you're in the studio and you've got the finished product. You know, what does it surprise you when you get done compared to what you started with?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a game of telephone. It's like you start off with an initial message of what you think you're trying to say.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I sat and laid on the floor in the studio with my producer staring at the ceiling for 2 hours trying to think of a word that rhymes with another.
Okay.
You know, so sometimes you spend many, many hours, like, on simple problems in a song and then realize that, like, you know what? You have to go all the way back to the beginning and rip something up. Maybe something you were in love with.
Yeah.
For a song. And then, like, a lot of times you may even extract that part of a song, maybe it's a verse that you really thought was really was going to work, but doesn't work for that song anymore. So maybe you put it off to the side, you shelf it, and then you can apply that into another song later that you're writing that maybe that fits better with.
Yeah.
So really when it comes to writing, it's like you don't have to always write a song end to end. You can write riffs or a melody or a hook that you really like, but then a lot of times you're like, wow, we don't really know how this fits into the context
right.
of the song yet. You build around it. So that always amazes me myself, because sometimes you start with an idea and it goes well, and then you may even abandon the song altogether, like, you know what, it's not good enough, or it isn't quite, or you take an element of it and then rewrite the song, a whole new song with what you started with. You know?
Yeah, that's
it's
cool.
Quite common, actually.
Yeah. So this the album that's coming out, currently out. It's called The Starting Line. It's not your first one, though, right? This is the second.
Well, this is my first country rock album, actually. So I have done other albums with, you know, various incarnations of myself as a musician in the past, but this is the first, like, true homage to, like, country rock. And it's really where I feel most at home and most comfortable. So yeah, this is the first release. But I will be going back into the studio, actually, in the fall to record a follow-up album and really try to take the best elements of what we did in this last album and bring them into that and kind of really double down.
What were your previous, the previous album, your previous musical journey, what did that lend itself genre-wise to? Where were you at with those?
Yeah, I'd say it was kind of more on the rock side, but there were country elements of it for sure, but I kind of branded it as a rock album, like rock alternative. But the things about it that, the things I was trying to accomplish in that album were, like, driving guitar riffs and, like, you know, good kind of, like, wholesome feel to it. Like, I didn't want the lyrics to be too serious, and I didn't want it to be dark. I wanted it to be fun and uplifting really American and really about, like, just enjoying life and experiencing the elements of life that we like so much. And then when I took a step back and I looked at the end product, I wasn't entirely as happy with it as I could have been. So you, like any time you do an album, you kind of do a retrospective, like, well, what would I have done differently? What would I have done, changed about this? And when I looked at it, I'm like, you know, I really was trying to write a country album because that's who I am.
Yeah.
And it didn't reflect there. So I kind of, the light bulb went off. And then people in my industry who I've known for a long time that trust me, I had even told me, it's like, look, you should be doing country. This is more your style. And I said, yeah, you're right. And so that really kind of helped shape the direction of my next album. And then when I went to the studio, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it. And that's what made this album. So it made it come together so easily.
Yeah. Okay. And how's the fans? Have they responded to the? Did they already know that was who you were anyway, or are they kind of getting to enjoy a different side of you as if you transition more to the country rock versus straight up rock?
I would say probably the latter. I think people that have liked my music before were like, "Wow, this is really good." But then when I switched to country, were like, "Oh my gosh, this is really really good."
Yeah, cool.
And I mean, the immediate feedback was I love the way you sound so much better on this album. Even though to me, maybe technically, the music wasn't as challenging to sing vocally, but the response I'm getting is much higher. Like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, you should have been doing this the whole time.
Wow, cool.
We love it. And then garnishing a whole bunch of new fans, like ones that were not even accessible to me before, because the quality of the product is so much better.
Yeah, you know? That's cool. And so you've got a couple songs that kind of, I guess you're highlighting one of them in particular, Video Redheads. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so as I was mentioning earlier in the interview, I've always had a thing for redheads, like, as long as I knew that I was into girls. so the funny thing is, it's like, the song started out as kind of a joke. Like, we had this really great song, my producer and I. It was very, like, country twangy, had this great lift to it, and we were kind of joking around on, like, what the song would be about, and we got on the topic of, like, girls, my producer knows I have a thing for redheads, and, like, we started, like, messing around with some funny lyrics about redheads, and before we knew it, we were like, that's kind of funny, let's just keep writing, and we ended up lyrically, that was the fastest song I ever wrote in my life. It took me, like,
cool.
25 minutes to write every line of that song, lyrically. And then we took a step back, and we're like, wow, this is a great song.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, too, is I don't, no one's ever written a song about redheads. You always hear songs about blondes, or maybe a redhead is mentioned in a song, like that redhead at the corner. There's never like I like redheads.
Yeah.
And that's just it. So really the whole concept of the song was really to be, it's not just about, like, you're into redheads or not. It's kind of written around the concept of, we all have a type, right? Everyone's got a type of girl they're into. And that's really, this song can really apply to anybody in that type, but the idea is to mentally articulate to people that, like, what you see in your type versus what other people see when they see the same girl are totally different things. Like, I have friends that are into the types of girls, I'm like, not into that kind of girl, like, not my thing.
Yeah.
And then I have other friends that look at me and go, like, I'm not into redheads at all. But for me, it's like, it's my jam, right?
Yeah.
So So the song, so we took those elements of, like, it being a specific, unique thing that no one's ever done before, and we really thought, we're like, hey, this is an opportunity for us to really kind of, you know, write history in some respect, because when people think of songs about redheads, I hope they think of me.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And as it's going right now, that's the case. And the feedback has been incredible. We've gotten, I mean, tons of redheads that comment on the page and on the link in YouTube and said, oh my gosh, finally a song about me, and finally a song for me. So yeah. I hope every redhead listening shares a song with their redhead friend, so we can make this thing go viral.
That's cool. Have you had a chance to get some airplay with it?
We're in the process of getting some work done. I mean, we just released the video a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So as this thing gets more exposure and more traction and more momentum, you know, people are reaching out to me and asking more questions about it, and distribution and how we get it out there. So we're expecting some really exciting things coming here in the next few weeks in regards to that.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome. And then I guess the follow-up song then is going to be Summer Song, right?
Yes, that's correct. So we're actually shooting the video for that now. We should be wrapping up here in about a week or two.
Okay.
The Summer Song, when we look at the entirety of the album, when we took a step back and we looked at all 9 songs, our producer and I kind of were like, Redheads is a good starter out the gate, but Summer Song we really feel like is the single on the album.
Hmm. Okay.
We think this is the one that's most accessible to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone might not get the Redhead thing, but everyone... It's a summer song. Everyone understands what it's like to be young and to have your summer off, and like the weekends you go out, and like the things you do, and the bonfires and the camping and the beaches and the burning tires and dirt bikes and just all the things that I used to do when I was a kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
That we really, in this day and age, summers have changed so much. Like you look at people. Kids, like, they're inside, they're playing video games, they're on their phone, they're, like, no one's out just what I call doing the type of stuff I used to do when I was a kid, like, swinging on a rope into the lake and, like, doing backflips while catching a football midair. Nobody does that anymore.
I know, yeah.
So, Spencer Davies, who's the director of the video from Trespasser Productions, he and I had this idea and thought of, like, wow, this is the message we want to send. We want to kick everyone in the teeth and remind everyone, like, hey, like, this is how you summer, right?
Yeah.
And lyrically, with the video, like, we really feel like the strong balance of this lyrically about, like, this is what summer means to me, and then articulating that in a video that says, like, visually, this is how you summer.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an incredible combination. And in the early footage I've seen, it's unbelievable, and I'm so excited to share it with everyone. I think it's really going to blow people's minds.
That's cool.
I got all the stops on this one.
When does that one come out?
So it's probably going to be early to mid-August.
Okay.
So we're looking for around an 8/15 launch date, but give or take a week. But definitely be out before the end of the summer.
And then pretty much right after that, you were telling me earlier that you're headed back to the studio.
Right. I like to stay busy. In the concept of... Over the course of this year, like, preparing all these videos and the content, in the back of my mind, I have, like, I'm always thinking of the next thing. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I have more ideas of what I want to do. And also, too, it helps when I hear back from my fans, their feedback, of, like, when you write an album, sometimes the elements of it you think people are going to respond well to, they respond to it maybe not as well as you think, and then other elements maybe you dismiss, people are like, jump on.
Yeah.
And so, for me, it's like, oh, okay. And that's like with anything. Sometimes with art, you have to put it out there, and you have to get feedback and kind of see
right.
what your fans want to hear. So now that I have that information, I have a ton of ideas in my head of how I want to proceed for the next album. So like I mentioned before, we're going to take the best elements of the starting line and really, really give an album for the fans in this next sophomore release.
Yeah.
One that they, I think, well, we think we'll really take it to the next level. So we're excited for that.
How much of the material have you already finished writing? Will you... go in with a full slate ready to go, or actually write some of these in the studio?
A little bit of both. Typically, how I work with Tom, who's my producer, Tom Chandler, that is we both, I'll bring elements to the studio with me. Sometimes I'll have songs that are like 80% written or even fully written end to end.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or maybe just riffs, like, hey, I really like this melody, but I'm not sure what to do with it.
Yeah.
So we'll take the full songs, we'll go in and we'll flesh those out. together. And other times I'll go in with maybe just like a, hey, I have a really good chorus, but I haven't written a strong verse around it yet.
Yeah.
And then we'll just start building the songs out organically. And that works well for me because Tom is an exceptional producer, and he thinks of the things that I don't always think of, and mm-hmm. vice versa. Like, I can provide him the feedback and guidance on, like, well, this is the direction I'm trying to go.
Okay.
And then between the two of us, we create the types of songs that you hear on the album. Yeah. The starting line.
That's cool. So what's playing out, touring, performing, with everything else you got going on? How do you what does that look like for you at this time with the current album?
Right. So touring is kind of light right now, just from the standpoint of, like, we just been so busy creating content.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal would probably be is once we release Summer Song, we're looking to get some national exposure on that level.
Yeah, okay.
And which we think we're going to get really good coverage on this. Then when we have the follow-up album ready, so in the fall, like, you know, winter's kind of a slow time in general.
Right.
When it comes to touring, because everyone's on holiday and vacation, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, everything. So, and then the idea will be in the new year, we'll launch this new album, and then we'll hit the road.
Okay.
So the big show, so we, like, you know, when the spring comes, the new festivals that start opening up, like, there'll be tons of opportunities to play. So, and then that way we have a really strong full two albums that we can go and drive.
Yeah, sure.
So,
will it will you be mostly California regional, or will you head Midwest, East Coast as part of this too?
Yeah, all of the above. So, like, when we start planning this stuff out, we'll probably start in California, but we're definitely going to start working our way east and south, across the Midwest, and then we'll want to hit Texas, and then eventually work our way to Nashville if we can.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, we want to get where our target market is. And the beauty of social media these days is that, I get people messaging me all the time from Arizona or Kansas City. Like,
yeah.
Hey, when are you coming to Kansas City? Hey, when are you coming to Arizona?
That's cool.
So it helps us build a target demographic for where we think we're going to get the best exposure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like everything, music has its own regions where it's popular and maybe other regions where it's not so much. So, we'll look at the analytics and the data where we're getting a lot of viewers and where we're seeing feedback come from, and we'll probably strategically plan a tour around those areas and locales.
Yeah.
We want to hit them where most of our fans are, obviously.
Sure.
To keep things rolling.
So where can folks see the video Redheads and then get ready to watch the new one, Summer Song, that's coming out soon? Where can they get a copy of the album? How can they get in touch with you? Tell us how to find you.
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple ways. I have a YouTube channel. It's Mark Daniels Country. People can go there and subscribe to me. Like, all our videos get launched on there. I also have a Facebook page, Facebook Mark Daniels Country, pretty simple. It links to all our social media content, like where you can find the videos and stuff. It's kind of a good one-stop shop. I also have a website, markdanielscountry.com, and it has links to everything as well.
Yeah.
So you can listen to music on Spotify. You can find me there. You can find me on iTunes.
Cool.
SoundCloud, pretty much any digital music distribution channel, you can find me there as well.
Good.
But then again, my social media sites will link to all that as well. So,
okay, good.
If someone's looking for a one-stop shop, I'd recommend going
yeah,
there.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks, Mark. This has been great catching up with you, and I wish you well with all of that. We're going to – I can't wait to see the next video and see what's coming up for you.
Excellent. And thanks a lot, Greg, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.